Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Looking to start your own website? The first thing you need is a domain name, and the best place to get one is at GoDaddy.com. With your domain registration, you'll get hosting, a free blog, complete email, and much more. Plus, as a MuggleCast listener, enter code RON, that's R-O-N when you check out, and get your .com domain name for just $7.49 a year. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
Hello, this is David Heyman, and I'm the producer of the Harry Potter films, and this is MuggleCast.
Welcome to MuggleCast Live, September 22nd, 2010, and the trailer for Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 was released, and joining me via Skype is Micah Tannenbaum. Hello, Micah. Micah. Oh, great, Micah. Don't tell me you just crashed out, too.
No, I was just on mute. Sorry.
Oh, good job. Jeez. Okay, well, at least that wasn't my fault. So anyway, welcome everyone to the show. Matt's going to be joining us in a little bit. So, Micah, have you watched the trailer yet?
Yes, I was actually able to watch the trailer once. So I'm going through it right now trying to pick out some things. But I do have to say, I'm really impressed with this trailer. A lot of people were concerned about part one not living up to the action of part two. And I think there's plenty of action in this trailer. What about you?
Yeah. And you know what? You're absolutely right. That was one of the initial concerns. And I think WB has absolutely proven everybody wrong. There's a lot, and we learn that the split is so late in the book that we actually see there's plenty of action to put into part one.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think with this trailer they really did a great job focusing in on that action. There's no question about it, and I really do think this is shaping up to be a good movie.
Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. Now, if you remember last time. Our last trailer show, we basically just went through the trailer scene by scene and talked about every little thing. So, Micah, if it's okay with you, I think we should just do that same thing again.
If we don't encounter any more technical difficulties, then absolutely, let's do that.
Actually, I wasn't even going to give you any option. I was just telling you what's going to happen.
Oh, okay. Well, see, this is what everybody doesn't hear when we record.
Take out my whip and I crack it on the MuggleCast news desk and I say, Micah, this is what we're going to do. Okay, so let's get into it. I'm just going to load up the trailer right now and we're going to go scene by scene. Maybe for old time's sake, we should just watch it all the way through first.
Sure, you're going to play it for everybody?
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to be able to hear about it, but I don't really
I can press play at the same time. How
okay.
about that?
All right, started at the beginning. Everybody watching on Ustream will be able to see it just fine through Ustream. All right, Micah, on three, hit play.
Right.
You're going to want to mute your copy because you're going to hear it through my computer. Okay? One, two, three. Now, this is my favorite part. This vibrant green is the best color they've chosen for the warning. Okay, here we go.
These are dark times, there is no denying.
Tell me where he is.
Our world has faced no greater threat than it does today. But you can't fight this war on your own, Mr. Potter.
infiltrated the Ministry.
You have nothing to fear if you have nothing to hide.
The longer we stay here, the stronger he gets.
I must be the one to kill Harry Potter.
We need to get off the streets, get somewhere safe.
I'd say we get undercover before someone murders him.
That way they won't know which Harry Potter is the real one.
They are coming.
Hey! Go!
Hang on, Harry!
Nobody else is going to die. Not for me.
We have to do something.
You think I don't know how this feels?
No, you don't know how it feels! Your parents are dead. You have no family.
Ah! He's after you, Mr. Potter.
Tell me where he is.
You really don't stand a chance.
I got him!
Help me!
Anyway, get this off. So, I mean, you can't watch that trailer and say that there is not enough action in part one. There's plenty to go around. So let's start right at the beginning. And just like we did for the last trailer, that major one that included both parts, we are going to discuss every little scene that we see. Okay, now we start with the WB logo here. And I think this is my favorite WB logo. Isn't it yours, Micah?
Oh, yeah. The logo is great. It reminds me of all the pictures.
Didn't Eric complain last episode about the way the WB logo swooped in? It was very odd.
I don't think Eric ever complains about anything.
Okay, so first scene is of the Ministry. We see them in the long main corridor. This is where everybody comes in via fireplace, and we see Rufus Scrimgeour right at the front. And this is actually, I think, the first time we're getting a glimpse at his voice, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And he sounds pretty good. He doesn't sound as bad as Barty Crouch Jr. did in Goblet of Fire. I was severely disappointed by that when I first heard his voice.
It was a little weird.
Yeah.
And all the twitching that he did.
Exactly. And we get the shot of the back of him again, and we hear him say the following.
These are dark times, there is no denying.
And you get the good look at his face, and I love the way that he drones on. These are dark times, there's no denying.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I think this is exactly how the movie opens up from what Eric and Emerson told us.
Did they
is
say
this
that?
Scene? I believe they did. Am I making that up? If they didn't say it on the podcast, I think Eric told me this is how the movie opens up.
Okay.
So you're getting that very ominous tone right from the get-go.
So then we get the look at Dumbledore's tomb, which is it looks like. I'm sorry, but what's going on here? Why is Dumbledore's tomb the bottom of a Jenga puzzle?
Yeah, I kind of was trying to think what puzzle to call it, but that's probably the most accurate.
Okay.
I think maybe Lego Harry Potter got a little bit of a deal in
oh,
this whole
no,
thing.
Oh, no, that's exactly what it is.
But, yeah, it looked good. A little bit weird, you know, like they were opening something out of the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah. Now, of course, I don't have the description off the top of my head, but from the book, but surely J.K. Rowling did not describe it as a basic rectangle standing with two smaller rectangles underneath of it.
Probably not, but you would think that wherever Dumbledore would be buried, it would be very secure, and only somebody who is as intelligent and as well-versed in magic as Voldemort would be able to open his tomb.
Yeah, okay, so that's disappointment one of this trailer.
They're a little too close for comfort there, though.
What do you mean?
In that shot with it's very ominous, very eerie of Voldemort hanging over Dumbledore.
Oh, okay, right. So we get.
Did I jump ahead?
Yeah, you kind of did.
Sorry.
We get the shot of Voldemort sticking his head into the tomb, face to face with Dumbledore. And this was the preview we saw at Comic-Con. We saw this shot. This is what I was trying to describe to you a few weeks ago. And I think it's fair to say this is one of the eeriest scenes that has ever hit the Harry Potter films. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, what happens? Is this the exact same shot that they showed you? There wasn't any more after it?
No, this is it.
He didn't say anything?
During the comic, we didn't hear him say anything, I don't think. During the Comic-Con preview, we just saw this shot right here of Voldemort and Dumbledore. A little bit wider, but... I wonder, okay, do you think that's actually Michael Gambon, or is that a fake...
Maybe fake.
I'm thinking it's fake, too. Because if it wasn't, if it was a real Michael Gambon, he totally would have done a couple of joke takes where he just waked up and slapped his mind.
I was thinking that. I would think Michael Gambon wouldn't take that scene too seriously at the very beginning. He'd be making the directors waste a lot of different takes and money.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Maybe it was a prosthetic Dumbledore.
I think so. My set report will reveal that information in due time.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that.
So, you know what we do? I do have to admit, what we do get a lot of in this trailer, and it's in pictures that we've seen released, and the past two trailers, we get a lot of Harry, Ron, and Hermione standing in the middle of nowhere. Now, granted, that happens in the book, yes, and this was the concern, like you brought up at the top of the hour, Micah, or 10 minutes ago. There, people are worried that there won't be enough action. And so we see the shot of Harry standing on a cliff. I believe this location was also used for the Pixar film Up. And we see a tent in the background, and presumably Ron and Hermione are in there. But what do you think is going to be going on during these scenes when Harry's just standing around? Micah, you're on your mute button again. You really need to stop putting that under your butt.
No. What happened was I tried to bring up the Ustream here, and an ad blasted on through the speakers, so I figured you didn't want to have to listen to that.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Very thoughtful. But did you hear what I said?
No.
Harry, what are they going to be doing during these scenes when Harry, Ron, and Hermione are just standing in the middle of nowhere? For example, the shot I have up right now at 21 seconds in, Harry is just standing on the cliff. On the rocks, just staring around. There seems like there's going to be a lot of these during the film.
Yeah.
So
I think that's probably what fans' biggest concern is going to be going into this film, is having too much of these types of moments. And it is a little bit worrisome. I'm sure David Yates did a great job, mixing them in. But
as long as they're only about 5 seconds, they can't be too long.
Yeah, the hard part is, though, for a large part of the beginning of Deathly Hallows, this is what is going on, though. They're traveling around from one place to another.
Right.
I know Eric said what made it was the fact that some of the places that they go to, have these great landscapes, So to me, that's not going to help me like that scene anymore just because they happen to be in a really nice place.
Yeah.
So,
scene sucks, but at least it looks cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, thank you for tuning in. It's Micah and I here. We're discussing the Deathly Hallows trailer that was just released about 45 minutes ago. Of course, the internet's in a frenzy over this trailer. I presume, Micah, it's the final trailer we're going to be getting for part one, right?
I would say this is probably it. Yeah, I don't see anything else coming around. Maybe a short 30-second deal, but they'll probably chop up parts from this. I really don't think that they can give away that much more at this point.
Yeah. So then we see Hermione, and Hermione is just... This is another one of those shots that I was talking about. Hermione is just, standing there. looking a little emo. Then next shot we get... This is actually... Something about this shot, really, I really like. It's Ron standing in front of the burrow, and he's sort of just all alone. And you can see Mrs. Weasley and Ginny in the background. And there's something very artistic about it. There's nothing else really to say about it, but...
Now, this shot that you have up now of the river...
Oh, what about it? It's a split second long.
No, I was just joking.
Oh, okay. So moving along, a couple quick flashes. Then we get to Ghostly Dumbledore. And it's a very brief shot, and we saw it in the TV spot, so that was really nothing to...
That'd be cool on a ride. You know, have Ghostly Dumbledore pop up.
Yeah.
As you're...
Yeah, well, if recent news is to be believed, then hopefully we will be seeing a double in size Wizarding World theme park, but we'll save that for another episode of MuggleCast. As we move along, we get to Harry and... We get to Hermione and Harry in the cemetery looking at James and Lily Potter's grave. What does it say at the very bottom? The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Oh, isn't that nice? Now, I hope... Has everybody gotten a good look at the grave yet? Because we want to make sure there's no issues like there was with the Goblet of Fire grave scene. When there was a major mistake on that Warner Brothers had to end up fixing. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
But, okay.
A little bit of a conflict, yeah.
Oh my gosh, I noticed Harry has stubble and facial hair. This really is a road movie, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, he is, what, 20 in real life?
Right. I'm not saying that's a surprise. It's just that they always are shaved, so... But this is a road.
Well, yeah, they're on the road, man.
Tough times. I don't know, but Hermione's got that giant bag. You could put a...
Hermione doesn't have any stubble going on, which is good.
We'll have to check to make sure, get the high-res version. But as of right now, it looks like no. Okay, so then we get the close-up shot of Harry, and he's looking into the two-way mirror. And you see Aberforth in it. But it totally looks like Michael Gambon. Do you think?
Yeah, but... Huh? Well, do you remember when Harry first looks into it, he thinks he sees Dumbledore?
Right.
The Dumbledore that he knows. So perhaps, you know, they did use Michael Gambon for that scene.
Well, that's what I was just thinking. Are we seeing this through Harry's perspective so we actually do see Michael Gambon?
It's possible, because the next scene is Dumbledore falling off the astronomy tower.
Yeah. And you can see the black in hand. Of course, this is a clip from Half-Blood Prince. I can't remember the dialogue that was happening at this exact moment.
He looks comfortable there, though.
Dumbledore falling?
He looks comfortable.
Have you seen it in the movie?
Yeah.
Well, when you're dead, I mean, you are kind of comfortable.
He's not. Yeah, I guess.
You cannot show any emotion.
He's just kind of floating out there.
Yeah, I guess. And then we see Voldemort. He's casting a little spell. And honestly, he's doing it oddly. I think this is when he has... who does he have? Could this be when he's got Bertha Jorkins? I think this is when Bertha Jorkins is standing there. Or is floating in the middle of the air. Or Chastity Burbage. Thank you to everyone in the chat. I've got my books confused. We're doing Goblet of Fire chapter by chapter right now. And I'm very confused. But, okay, so that's probably what's going on in this spot. And Matt is joining us.
The person
now.
Whom you're trying to reach
Hello, Matt.
Is currently unavailable.
Hello, everybody. Hold on, let's get you on camera so make sure you're actually here. Oh, look, he is actually here. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks.
You're actually just in time because Mike is in New York City where there was just a power outage, so the power just died where he is.
Oh, nice.
So it's just you and me.
So you've been by yourself?
No, like literally 10 seconds ago he left.
Hasn't New York already suffered a power outage too?
They're suffering it right now.
No, but they did before, like a tornado hit them or something.
That's right, maybe they did. But this is not the Weathercast. This is Mugglecast, so let's get back into the trailer here.
Matt, okay, I haven't seen it yet.
Well, good. You can play the role of the person who hasn't seen the trailer.
Great. Can I play the role of the person who's seen it, though, pretty soon?
Yes. So we get the shot of Dumbledore and, or sorry, Voldemort. We talked about that. We get to a shot of Harry. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure this is from the Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah.
Because somebody brought this up on my Twitter feed. There's a couple of times when they actually, when they reuse clips, and honestly, it's kind of annoying. Micah, welcome back.
Sorry about that. We had a huge thunderstorm come through here, and of course the power goes out after the fact, not during. So I think tonight is just a technical nightmare all across the board.
I think it is too.
But... Hey, Micah.
Hey, Matt. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Just chilling, you know.
And chilling.
Apparently there's this trailer that just got released too.
Really? I had no idea.
All right. So we're at 40 seconds in. If you're following along at home, we see a black crow. Or is this an owl?
It's Hedwig Chard.
We fixed her. She's free, but she's charred. So I guess that's a hard call. I think that's some sort of bird. I'm assuming it's an owl.
Can I just watch this freaking trailer or something?
Yeah, watch it to yourself.
Okay, I'm going to watch it to myself.
Okay, so then at 41 seconds, we get a shot of the we see the Deathly Hallows symbol. And then we get a shot of Harry. And, you know, this trailer is just full of random, quick, one-second shots. We see the snake. We see Ron on the ground. We see the Gryffindor sword. These are all, keep in mind, these are all happening second by split second.
Yeah, they try to sneak things in there.
Yeah, but nothing really too discussion-worthy, which is why I'm moving through it pretty quickly. We see Harry on the ground. You know,
what's the fire in there? Can you close in on the fire?
The fire, I think, is when they... it's in Hogwarts, when Draco sets the fire, isn't it?
Okay. Because is it all from part one?
Oh,
or they
yeah, you're right.
Slicing in clips?
No, you're right. Oh, you see the snake, so...
Could it be at Lovegood's home, possibly?
Yeah, it could be. You see some shrubbery outside.
Anybody in the chat, any ideas?
Some people are saying it's... Oh, yeah, they may be right. Bathilda, when she turns into Nagini, when she turns into a snake.
She can turn herself on fire?
I don't... That is... Maybe she knocks over a lamp or something and it catches fire. Then we get the shot of Harry... He's just laying there on the ground. And then we get... Whose house is this? Is this Hermione's? No.
Where are we now?
At 45 seconds in, we see the mansion.
Trying to bring the stream back up, but that stupid ad is playing again.
Oh, okay. So, I'm sorry. We're at 45 seconds in where we see a mansion.
Is it Malfoy Manor or not yet?
Oh, that must be it, yes. I think this is the first time we're getting a look at the outside of it, though, in the trailer, which is why I... didn't pick up on it immediately. But it's kind of odd. You see these two Malfoy Manor, the front lawn, it's like they have two Christmas tree farms on either side of the front gate, and they're closed in. They're just sort of sitting there. Kind of strange. Okay, so Voldemort, and then we see this great shot of Snape talking to Voldemort, and he says the following.
Traded the ministry.
Well, let's rewind that so we can hear that properly again. Snape says the following.
We have infiltrated the ministry.
We have infiltrated the ministry. And then we get our first look at Umbridge. I've been looking forward to seeing her for so long. And she's in a very white pink. Micah, your analysis on the white pink.
It still doesn't make her look...
Dobby!
I can hear the trailer in the background.
That's probably from Matt's
playback.
Mic. It's probably from Matt's mic.
Yeah, I'm getting some playback.
Okay. Well, okay, so then we get, at 48 seconds in, we get to the shot of the Magic is Might statue. Now, this is the first time we're getting a look at this, too. It's in the center of the Ministry of Magic, and we see what looks like Muggles holding up the statue. It's very eerie, because, and this is obviously a very intense visual. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Do you have anything to say about this Magic is Might statue?
Yeah, it's definitely creepy. That's for sure. And the picture you showed before with Umbridge looking hot in that pink dress, that was creepy too, because you saw how everybody was lined up. It almost was reminiscent of what you would see in a movie that would have parts of the Holocaust in it. You know, it's the guy that's there with the clipboard ready to check people in. And then you see this statue, like you said, of these Muggles supporting the Magic is Might statue. And we got a really good shot, a good photo of that statue, at least the top part of it, where it said Magic is Might earlier today.
Right. And at the bottom here of the shot, at 48 seconds in, you can see some Ministry officials running towards a wizard or two, towards the bottom of the shot. Do you see that? If you scroll back and forth, you can see them moving at the bottom. And it's hard to tell who exactly they're chasing after, but...
Oh, yeah.
Well, there is a chase scene in the Ministry.
Yeah, I wonder if this is... Oh, I guess this is Harry and Hermione. Could it...
Well, isn't it right after that shot when Harry does a spell towards the camera? I mean, it could be in, you know, in sequence, because right after that, they start running.
Now, who are these people next to Umbridge? One of them is... Pius Thicknicks.
Is one of them over. Ludo? I think the guy on the far right is Ludo?
Ludo's in Goblet of Fire.
Ludo Bagman?
In...
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember... Oh, somebody...
Yaxley.
Yeah, Yaxley, Thickenies, and some people are saying... I don't know. Nobody's very sure. Thickenies,
yeah. Thickness. The...
Runcorn. People think it's also Runcorn. And we haven't seen these actors yet, so I guess we would have to go just by what's happening in the book.
Yeah.
But Umbridge looks good, and it's refreshing to see Umbridge. And you can tell Imelda Staunton, who plays her, she's still got it. She's still got that
she's
smirk.
She's thrilled to be there.
Yeah, she's got that smirk, that hair.
Somebody in the chat wants to know if you've read the books. Gosh.
No. God. Dang, she's right.
Yeah. Okay, so then we get to the shot of the Ministry officials, and like Micah said, they got their clipboards, they're checking people in, presumably, and they have that red armband around their shoulder on the left, I noticed. Micah, what is that reminiscent of?
Yeah, Nazi Germany.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'm wondering if that was described in the book. With the red armband. Yeah,
you know, I don't remember the arm. I don't know if that's something that Yates added to the film. I remember Eric talking about it when he did the short podcast with Emerson after they saw the film. I forget. He said there was something on them. I forget what it was, though.
Maybe he's talking about that, because that stands out. That was the first thing I noticed in the wide shot, that they were wearing those.
Mm-hmm.
And presumably they have little M's on them.
Yeah, maybe that was it.
So then we see a shot of the trio. They're walking across a giant hilltop, again with these scenic shots that we're not sure what they're going to do with all these, unless it's going to be a nice long montage of all the scenic shots.
Well, isn't in the book a wizard supposed to be sitting on a whole bunch of Muggles?
Yeah, we talked about that before.
Was I not listening to it?
The statue, when you were watching the trailer.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
So we get past those shots. Then we see a shot of Voldemort, and he's petting Nagini.
Yeah, that was a little creepy, a little weird.
And you see his nails. He needs to wash out his nails or something. It's about time. Then Voldemort... Let's see. To get back up on this, to speed here, let's hear what Voldemort is saying.
I must be the one to kill Harry Potter.
So Voldemort says that, and then it kicks off another montage of fast action clips, and we see Nagini's what's the correct verb? Slithering down the table. And you can see quite a few people in the shot. We can see Snape, Draco, his father, Bellatrix, Narcissa, and a couple other unknowns.
Purely shot for the sake of 3D, though.
Now, is that Yaxley across the table from Lucius? Because we just saw him in the Ministry, right?
Yeah.
Because it's Yaxley that chases them down and ends up on the foot, the doorstep of Grimmauld Place.
Ah, yeah, you're right. And speaking of that, we're going to get to one of those shots soon. So we see the trio. This is actually kind of clever. This will be a cool entrance. So we see a shot of them apparate into London.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they apparate in, they're right in front of a bus. And it looks like in the next shot, you see them back away just in time. That's kind of funny.
That would have been a bad end to the movie.
Yeah. It would have been. So then we see a couple shots, and they're like, oh my god, I cannot believe we just apparated in front of a bus. Go figure. So then we see a couple more shots, and these were seen in the original teaser trailer, too.
Right.
And then we get to Grimmauld Place, and Harry lets Mad-Eye in. This is, of course...
This is Dursley's home.
The Dursley's home, right.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, wait, he's dead. Okay, so they get into the Dursley's home, and this is where we see the Dursley's home is evacuated. The Dursleys have left. As you can see, none of their furniture or kitchen appliances are... they're nowhere to be found.
Because they just moved.
And this, the layout of this house, correct me if I'm wrong, this is different than what we saw in Sorcerer's Stone and Chamber
Well, we
Secret.
Never see the left side of the living room.
But look where the kitchen is in relation to... living room.
Well, no, it's not. It's not directly next to each other. I mean, they're two different rooms.
They're next to each other in the trailer, though.
Are they?
Yes, I'm looking at 105. Oh. Okay, so then we get our first look, finally, at the Seven Potters, and this too was in the Comic-Con preview, but it was so fast you couldn't even see. You didn't have a good chance to look at what was going on. So we see. So we see, of course, the seven Harrys, and this looks good. It looks real. It doesn't look digitized. It doesn't look fake.
Yeah.
And in a couple of interviews, Dan Radcliffe commented on, you know, some really cool technology, apparently, that they used to create the scene where the camera just replicated the shot seven times, and then they were able to... you know, do seven takes. Of course, it took multiple takes for each shot, so for mm-hmm. each Harry. Micah, any comments about this?
Oh, like you guys said, it looks really cool. I'm trying to make out who's in the background. It looks like Lupin, Hagrid.
And Arthur. Hagrid's head is just... He's just...
Just clears
hitting
the ceiling.
Yeah,
exactly.
It looks good. Harry looks really good in a female shirt, a blouse. That has to be Fleur.
Yeah, in the blue?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so moving along, we see the exterior of the wedding scene, because we see the burrow, mm-hmm. and then there's the long pink carpet, and then the party tent. And you can see Mr. Weasley's shack there, too, off to the left.
Yeah, the barn.
Yeah. The main appearance. So this is the scene where we hear Kingsley say the following.
They are coming. They are coming.
I was excited.
That's definitely not how I pictured it in the when I read it in the book. Was it for you guys?
Well, it's not what he says. I mean, he says the Ministry has fallen. Scrimgeour is dead. They're coming.
Right. Well, hopefully they included those other lines. They were just... They just cut it down for the trailer.
Didn't sound like Kingsley, though.
You don't think so?
I don't think we've seen enough of Kingsley to really connect it to, unless they do like an obvious, oh, that's Kingsley's Patronus.
Well, maybe you see him sending it.
Hopefully.
But... So then we get a good look at the wedding party, everybody who attended the wedding party. Oh, wait. At 111, you see somebody's head in the Patronus. And that does not look like Kingsley.
I'm trying to make this out.
You see, when I'm looking at 115, there's this screaming head.
They brought back the shrunken heads? No.
No, it's definitely not.
Is it not his Patronus?
Some people are saying it's Scrimgeour dying. I guess so. The nose looks a little... It doesn't... You know who it looks like? It looks like Jim Dale, to be perfectly honest. But saying it's Fudge. Some people are saying it's Fudge, but it doesn't really look like him either.
Is Fudge even credited in this film?
Yeah, Grindelwald. A lot of ideas going around in the chat on Ustream.
Well, no. I mean, Grindelwald isn't dead yet.
Greyback... Pettigrew.
Well, there is a scene later on. I was trying to figure out who Voldemort and Pettigrew were going after.
Well, somebody brought up in the chat a good point. In the USA Today article, they have a bit of dialogue, and they say it is Kingsley saying they are coming. So it's definitely him saying it.
Yeah, why wouldn't it be? I mean, it's him in the book.
Well, because Micah said it wasn't.
Oh, Micah.
Okay,
what?
So...
What did I say?
Nothing.
He's making shit up. I shouldn't have said that either. But we're live, and you can't edit anything out.
So we get to. So I just want to go back for a second and look at the party scene. We see all the attendees seeing the Patronus come in, and we see quite a few people here. And this is at 110. We see Hagrid, Ginny, Ron. Geez, who else do we see? Floor, Bill, perhaps Arthur.
That's going to be such an awesome scene, though. They're going through all like the tunnels and stuff.
Somebody said, "Oh yeah, there's Luna right there in the dress." I think that we see her back at least. Madame Maxime, of course, right next to Hagrid, looking very tall as always. All right, so the Patronus scene again with the mysterious head that we had no idea who that is, and then
maybe we can ask Eric at some point later. For the next episode, get a little clarification on what's going on there.
Yeah. Then we see the shot of Hermione and Mrs. Weasley, and they're staring at the Patronus looking all scared. Oh, Mrs. Weasley, she looks great. She looks so terrified. And look at that. Who's that behind Mrs. Weasley? It's Aunt Muriel! Dun, 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 dun. First look. Yes. This is at 112, if you're following along at home.
Did you always plan on introing her like that?
No, it sort of just came to mind.
I don't know. Do you think she would like that kind of intro?
Dun, 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 dun. First look. No?
Yeah, maybe. No.
We then see Harry, and he's looking outside of the wedding tent. And then the shot up into the clouds. And it's... I presume... Yeah, this is all the... Death Eater showing up, sending spells at the wedding. Now, the way the trailer sets it up, we see Hermione grabbing onto Ron, Harry, we see Harry, then we see Lupin say, go, go, go!
Is that Draco?
Where?
Behind Ron and Hermione in that shot?
Oh, I'm trying to see.
No.
No, it's not.
Okay. Looked like him for...
It's a very... He's got the same hair, but it's not.
It seems in the book, it seemed like it happened so fast, but in this, they're going to, like, linger for a bit and show some damage.
Yeah. Oh, and look who it is. It's Fred. Is it? Oh, wait, no. Who is this? Is it Fred? It is Fred. He's got the headband around him. I was so looking forward to seeing the missing ear. Aww.
Oh, I'm sure you'll live, Andrew. You don't want to see a disfigured head. Finger. Wait. What are you looking at? Because I'm looking at the feed, and I'm not seeing anything. I'm seeing Lupin holding Harry.
Yeah, but in the background. Right to Lupin's left. Oh, George. Sorry, I get them too confused. George is the one with the missing ear. And you see him right here at 117. He's wearing the headband, which kind of disappoints me. I was hoping we would just see this giant gaping hole in the back of his head.
Yeah, just the easy way to remember it is Fred's dead.
Fred dead. Right,
that's so sad.
Jeez. Okay, so we see Harry, and Harry's obviously, there's Ginny right here, so this is when Harry's trying to run after Ginny, but Lupin insists that, no, you must go, you must run. And this is the one scene that gave me chills in this trailer. Out of Lupin's got a kind of a funny face on him.
No!
As we move along here, then we see what we saw in the TV spot, Harry and Hagrid on the motorbike, on the road. And now people were looking forward to seeing them flying, and at this point it just does not seem like they will be flying. It seems like all the action is going to be going on down on the road. Which, I guess...
Really?
Well, yeah, I mean...
You think at some point they would go to the air? I mean, wouldn't that be kind of weird to be driving down the road and you have Voldemort coming in your rearview mirror?
But then, yeah, but then again, wouldn't it be awkward if, like, what happens? Is Hagrid like, oh, wait, I forgot, this thing can fly! And then he shoots up into the air?
Yeah, you're right. What are they driving on the correct side? I guess so, because is that like a middle lane that they're in?
No.
There is no wrong lane when you're riding Sirius's bike.
No, it's just a two-lane, one-direction road.
Right, I know it's opposite in Britain, but it looks like, I guess, I didn't see the other cars going the other direction on the left. I just looked at the empty lane on the right.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I mean, they do fly. I mean, we do see them flying together. But maybe
I guess only when Voldemort starts coming after them.
No, I don't think, I mean, I don't necessarily think it's going to be that long while they're on the road.
Actually, you do. They're very hard to see, but look, you can see Death Eaters back here. Right above the cars. I don't know if people on Ustream can see my mouse moving, but right towards the top, you can see people on brooms flying in.
Maybe it's the same people. Maybe it's the other Potters.
No, they're Death Eaters. They're black cloaked, and they're just riding by themselves.
Okay. Well, we know they go to the air because we see the scene where their wands connect.
Yeah, eventually. But we were just wondering when they actually go up in the air.
No. Well, this looks cool, you know? Like, I think that this will be a much liked scene that's been added to the film.
Yeah, I think it adds a lot to it when, you know, this is classic filmmaking when all the action is happening on the road and they're swerving in between cars. We see it in every Bond movie.
Right.
We see it in every Bourne movie. We see it in every action movie.
Yep. Do you think this is early on in the chase, or do you think it's later on? Because they find them. I mean, they obviously already flew because, you know, that's how they meet all the Death Eaters, is in midair.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. And then they land on the ground.
Right. They try to find a way to outmaneuver them.
So I'm moving ahead here. We see the trio running through the forest, and the Snatchers are going after them. We see Harry saying something. Let's rewind a bit and hear what Mr. Potter is saying to us all.
Nobody else is going to die. Not for me.
Nobody else is going to die, not for me. That was a pretty big line in the book, I thought.
That's a pretty big promise.
Oh, what happened to Hermione?
What's wrong with Hermione?
I don't know, where you are on the stream right now.
Well, she cast a pretty big spell. That was kind of cool. You've seen Hermione, like, running full sprint, but she cast a spell behind her. She can multitask. She's Hermione.
That's some spell. She just throws it back there, and boom. It looks like the roots from with the tree, like, sort of came out from under the ground and attack them. So then we get to Grimwald Place. What were you going to say, Micah?
No, I was just going to say she doesn't mess around.
So then we get to Grimwald Place, and we see, as someone saying in the chat, Dumbled Dust. But it's very brief. We just see the dust swarm.
Yeah, we saw him earlier, right?
Right.
Did we?
Right.
He was in.
Right. Then there's the shot of Ron. He's in the barn. What barn, you may ask? I have no idea.
Is this the sick Ron? Like the one that his that he leaves back home?
No.
Oh.
This is just them in the barn.
Scene?
Or
they'll just skip it.
I don't know. We haven't heard anything. That'd be another question for Eric since he's already seen it.
Oh, okay.
We see Harry and Ginny, and then we see Death Eaters flying through the sky. This is, of course, the Seven Potter scene.
Well, the scene before it, that's when Lupin attacks him, right? Asks
him
to identify himself.
Yeah, we saw a still from that a couple weeks ago. What you don't see in this shot right here is Arthur, or sorry, Lupin. Lupin about to walk in, and he name checks him. But I think also, if the caption is to be believed, I believe on the caption when WB released a still from the scene, it's them getting in a fight. And I think this might be when Harry and Lupin have that little fight about Lupin taking care of his
kid.
Yeah,
but that's at Grimmauld Place. That does not look like Grimmauld Place.
Yeah, no, this is at the Burrow, I think, when Harry comes back.
Yeah, this is when everyone comes back, because, I mean, the Ginny's there.
Oh, when you see Hagrid here. Isn't this Hagrid right behind Harry? You see this hand.
Right, well, Ginny wouldn't even be there at Grimmauld Place when when he and Harry get in a fight with Lupin and Harry.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's just the trio and Lupin.
Okay. So then we see the Death Eaters riding the Thestrals. And we see one of them get blown up.
I would have guessed that was Mad-Eye getting killed, but I don't know that they put that in the film based on what Eric had to say. I think he said that you just find out after the fact, once they all arrive at the Burrow, that Mad-Eye was killed.
Right. Well, this definitely isn't Mad-Eye getting killed, because you see he's wearing the mask.
Okay.
And then...
No, that's a Death Eater.
Right. You see the Death Eater. But I wonder... Oh, this is Kingsley. You can totally see. This is Kingsley right here. He's wearing the clothes that you saw in Order of the Phoenix as well.
Kingsley's
so that's how
style.
That's how I recognize him. Okay, cool. So that's one of the first times we saw something like that. Then this is when the music cuts out and Harry and Ron have their little fight.
You think I don't know how this feels?
You don't know how it feels! Your parents are dead. You have no family.
Oh, my God.
So much drama and gossip, Potter.
And you hear a little from Hermione in the scene. So this should be, honestly, I think this should be one of the more emotional scenes, because seeing Harry and Ron actually fight, it's just, it'll be pretty emotional, I think. Pretty stunning. Pretty
climactic.
Pretty heart-aching.
I'm excited for this fight, because this is the only fight you ever really get to see Ron and Harry do. I mean, Harry kind of has a little, you know, a little crying scene with Ron in book 5, but we don't really get to see them actually have like an all-out fight against each other, so this is going to be pretty interesting.
Skipping ahead a bit, we see Dobby, our first look at Dobby. He's looking good, and you know what? What, Micah?
No, go ahead.
Not what? Please, what are you laughing about?
Not a thing. Matt laughed too.
What is wrong with Dobby? He looks nothing like he did in book 2.
Yeah, I was going to say that. He looks like he's in that Defense Against the Dark Arts room too.
He does. That's what I thought too.
Yeah, he doesn't even. But that's I don't know. It doesn't look that good.
Well, you know what I think it is. I think to give Warner Brothers the benefit of the doubt, I think. You know, it's been 10 years. They've absolutely have had major advancements in CGI. So I think, if anything, he looks better. He's going to look more real.
Well, no, it's not that. It looks like he's obviously CGI'd in that scene. It doesn't look like he's really...
That's not fair, though, because the shot's not moving.
Maybe
Well,
maybe it's not done. Maybe they haven't finished it yet.
Yeah, this may not even be finished. They may have just added that stupid background just for the trailer.
Right. Now, this isn't Malfoy Manor, but... Is it possible they reused the Defense Against the Dark Arts set in this room? Because that looks really familiar.
It wouldn't be the first time.
But it's just set. I see what you're saying. It's that little...
Whatever, balcony.
Right. But there was a staircase leading up to the one in Chamber of Secrets. At least one of the balconies. Yeah. So.
They could have removed it.
Yeah. You know, they don't need just one balcony in this entire movie series. They probably added another one, too.
So we get a title that says "This Fall."
Somebody asked, "Why is Dobby still wearing the pillowcase?"
Yeah, I was wondering that. Doesn't he get like a tea cozy for a hat or something too? I mean, in the past 10 years, we'll say 8 years. I mean, hasn't he developed some type of clothing?
I would think so.
Yeah, get some socks or something.
It's hard to say. Dobby. We see the This Fall title, and then we see a shot of Voldemort and Pettigrew. Pettigrew's got the silver hand, it looks like. Oh, and this is Ollivander. And is this the...
I don't think it's Ollivander.
You don't think so?
I would
almost say this is Malfoy Manor. Now I
this
don't
is underneath the
underneath Malfoy Manor.
Yeah, this is the cellar. That's where they throw everybody down.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Because you see the staircase behind Pettigrew.
Yeah.
Now I don't particularly remember. Some people are saying it could be Gregorovitch too.
I don't think it's Gregorovitch because you see that scene of Gregorovitch backing up in his wand shop in the other trailer.
Sorry, go ahead, Micah.
Doesn't he also kill Grindelwald?
Yes, but I mean, at least in the book, we don't really get a very good glimpse of the what's going on. We just see him dying. Like, I know what you're here for, and I don't have it.
Someone says this also may be Harry's vision of what's going on at the
Burrow.
That's
what I think, too.
I think that makes the most sense.
It makes the most sense because this is because he does see, like, Voldemort torturing Ollivander. And so they may just add, like, a couple, like, clouds around just to make sure that he's, like, so it's obviously looking through his mind or something.
Well, see how the camera's kind of drifting? I think that sort of gives you a good enough idea that it's sort of like a vision. Okay, so, all right, we figured that one out. Yay.
Hopefully.
We see Harry riding on the motorbike. I what did I say with that TV spot, Micah? Do you remember?
What's that?
Do you remember what I said, Harry and the motorbike scenes, when we talked about seeing this during the TV spot? I said we're going to see these stupid shots of Harry on the motorbike over and over and over again, and this is totally what we got in this trailer.
Yeah.
They're not going to stop.
I really don't mind as long as they keep away from the Hedwig scene. I want to be surprised.
So then we get to a shot of Voldemort, and the picture is skewed. It's like stretched out, and this has happened before. I think they're and look at this shot is stretched out too. Now who is this? Is this Gregorovitch?
No, I think that's Grindelwald.
This is Grindelwald. Okay.
Yeah.
But
you see in the. Like, on the rock, it looks like there... Is that a chain? Because he's in prison, remember?
Yes.
And this is all during the Elder Wand search.
Mm-hmm. That's why he's happy, because he knows that he came to a dead end.
Exactly.
Oh, yes. Perfect. So then that was that... So was that the shot of Grindelwald that we were talking about earlier?
No, that was Gregorovitch.
Ugh. So confused.
The shot before... You mean the shot in the cellar?
Yeah.
I think you were right. I think that...
That was Harry having
Ollivander.
A vision.
Yeah, no. The one in the cellar was definitely Ollivander.
Okay. All right. Very good. It's pretty exciting seeing this all finally come to life. So then we see Bill and Fleur on top of a Thestral arriving at what looks like the Burrow.
Yeah,
the tall grass around
there's
it.
There's the corn grass-looking stuff.
We see a title called Ken Live. We're in the ministry. We see the Magic is Might statue again with the muggles holding up the two wizards. And then we see this is also in the ministry. You can see Harry, he's transforming back. You can see Harry's glasses, and it almost kind of looks like the suit's a little too big for him.
Yeah.
Unless the light's being...
Hermione is too, right? She's transforming also.
It looks like Hermione's halfway through transformation.
You think so? It's still... That's totally her face, though.
It is her face, but she's looking kind of aged. Like, her skin's kind of droopy a bit.
Her hair's disappearing. It's shrinking away.
Yeah,
like,
I think she's in mid-transformation.
Yeah, they probably all are. Then we see a few Death Eaters, and... I'm looking at, on the left side here... Trying to figure out what that is.
That looks like the eagle that led up to Dumbledore's office.
That does. It does, but it doesn't have its...
Yeah.
What are you talking about in the top...
Top left at 146.
Above the Dementor?
Yeah. Very far left.
Well, this is definitely probably where... what's her face? Imelda Staunton's character. Umbridge. Where she's questioning the wife of one of the officials at the ministry. You know, when they're being surrounded by Dementors. Do you know the scene I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think this is the scene?
Could be. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what that is, but...
It doesn't matter. It's just...
Yeah.
So then we see Snape, and a very brief shot of Snape, and he looks like he's about to cast a spell, or he's like, flinging them away, like, get away, get away,
now,
get away.
Do you think is that protecting Malfoy Manor, or do you think this is the... Would this be the Silver Doe? I mean, I know he does it in Dumbledore's office.
Yeah, I don't know what this could be. Maybe when he's defending, maybe they moved the him getting defended off of McGonagall before he flees.
I think it is Malfoy Manor because
that's part two.
When we see the wide shot of Malfoy Manor, you see the giant grass walls.
Oh yeah, you're right, and the white pillars.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know. What was I going to say? Because the book actually opens with him and Yaxley walking around Malfoy Manor.
Yeah. So skipping ahead a bit, we see Bellatrix with that what looks like a whip again. And we talked about this before.
What is with her?
So she's got a whip and she's got the Gryffindor sword in the other hand. She's holding on to it. So this is obviously when they're trying to get it from her.
She's looking for a good night.
And then we see, oh, the poor Lovegood's house under attack. And we see Xenophilius standing on his the front steps, and his knees are buckling in. He's just you could just see the look of hopelessness coming out of him.
What a weirdo.
And then
why would they go back to the same thing that they did to the Burrow? I mean, wouldn't it have been just as effective to have the Death Eaters show up at his doorstep?
Didn't they do that in the book?
It's just filmmaking wise. It just cinematically, you know.
Yeah, I know.
It's a poor innocent home sitting in the middle of nowhere. It couldn't possibly be safer.
Well, in the book, the Dementors come in through the front door. Let's just burn the place down and destroy it.
Yeah.
I think it's. I don't know.
So then we see the inside of the house and it being destroyed, and we get the quick shot of Harry on the ground, and we saw a still from this shot released by Entertainment Weekly a few weeks ago, if everybody remembers. And again, the shot, they're coming down, or the house is coming down. Black again. Ron and Hermione arm in arm. Let's hear what happens here.
Help me!
I love that line.
Oh,
help
God.
Me! Help me!
So sad!
Well, hold on. Wait a second. Is this... No, it's not Harry. What is he asking for help for?
Dobby's dead!
Oh, I was thinking that he was burying Dobby right here.
No,
but Harry does that on
him.
His own.
He's dying at that point. He's screaming. He's saying, Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Before he dies. He's dying!
So what are they gonna do?
Well, maybe it's just, you know, a reaction. When there's someone dying right in front of you and you don't know what to do, I mean, don't you cry out for help?
Hermione's like, I'm sorry, I don't have a spell for this one for once.
Oh.
Okay, so yeah, pretty emotional. I thought for a second this was Harry burying Dobby, and I was going to be upset because, of course, in the book, Harry does it on his own. And that's when Creature has that wonderful change of heart. So then we see Harry throwing a Patronus in the Ministry, it looks like.
Yeah, Hermione's still... I think Hermione's not quite changed at all yet.
And it cuts to a shot of Lucius, and he's in his own home. This is not Harry casting that spell. It's just, you know, how they edit these things for the trailer. So he sort of flies upward, whatever's happening.
That looks like a Dobby spell.
Then we see Ollivander. We've seen that shot before. We see Harry and Hagrid on the motorbike. We see Ron going in the water... trying to reach for the sword. And then we see Harry, Ron taking the sword. These are a lot of the shots that we had seen previously. We see Voldemort casting a little spell. And this is Tom Riddle right here. It's got to be, right? At 1:58. He's got. You can't see his face, but we see the Tom Riddle hairdo.
That's just a shot from a previous film.
Yeah, that's
totally from Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah.
Because they do that a lot. Why did they do that in these trailers?
I don't know. And then at the 2-minute mark, you would think, oh, it must be done. The trailer's 2 minutes long. We're done. No, not yet. We see the shot of Voldemort, and this is from Order of the Phoenix, which is so frustrating. And you see them stretching out the picture because they don't have anything else to fill this moment in the trailer with, which is so...
So not only are they going to add an old scene, but they're going to try to fool us by obscuring the way the screen is.
To fool us, by but we stretching won't be fooled. Us. See a close-up shot of Harry, zooms into his eye. Black.
It is mine.
I've seen your heart, and it is mine. We see a great shot of Voldemort sending a spell up in the air, and it cuts to the Harry Potter logo. So go figure, it's Voldemort all along who keeps creating this Harry Potter logo.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, this is the protection, right? Or the quote-unquote protection that's around Hogwarts that he's shooting up into the air?
Well, no. It looks like that, but it just turns into the giant P from Harry Potter. So I don't think...
They just added it?
Yeah. You'll see the shot of Voldemort sending the spell up into the air, but I think that's when Voldemort's standing on on Dumbledore's grave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the Elder Wand. So it's just an effect.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
So that's the trailer. Part one of the epic finale, November 19th. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, it will be in 3D theaters everywhere, so you can see the snake come right at you.
I don't want Dobby's death in 3D.
Well, then you can watch it in 2D.
Fine, I'll go see it in 2D.
So again, you're listening to MuggleCast Live. We're talking about the trailer. We just went scene by scene through the entire thing, picking apart the difficult parts, the parts we absolutely recognized. Michael, what were some of the standout scenes for you in this trailer?
Standout scenes. I definitely like the scene at the wedding when the Patronus, or whatever that was, showed up to the wedding to warn everybody, and kind of the insanity that ensued afterwards. You know, seeing Harry running over trying to get to Ginny, and everybody scrambling. I like that. I like the scenes also with Voldemort in them, Voldemort and Snape. Voldemort obviously going after Ollivander down there in the cellar. But again, like I don't think they gave a whole lot away as far as the Deathly Hallows are concerned. We didn't see much of that. The focus of the trailer was kind of all over the place.
It was a lot. But that's what but the final trailer, I think, is always a mashup as much as possible. They explained having to I mean, what were some of the key points in this trailer? They ran through that the ministry, you sort of got the idea that the ministry, things were going awry at the ministry.
Right.
You see that Voldemort's after Harry, obviously.
Yeah, they don't really go too much into the plot.
You get a good look at the wedding, though. Mm-hmm. Or the wedding after party, at least. You know what's still really bugging me, though? A couple of things are still bugging me. One, that damn shot of Dumbledore's grave, and it's just a rectangle. It's a box. It's a Jenga puzzle, as I said earlier in the show. I really hope they do something else with that, because right now it looks pretty... I just don't get it. What is that?
Yeah,
it looks like a Lego piece.
Yeah, that's what we were saying earlier. Like Lego Harry Potter got a
oh my
little
God.
Cut.
Micah, did you know I have that game now?
Yeah, I heard. I heard you got the game.
So much fun. I'm on year 4 right now.
Nice.
I think another standout thing for me was Umbridge, seeing her for the first time.
Was great.
I said on the last episode I've been really looking forward to just seeing her. Period.
She just has that presence.
Yeah. And if you guys remember, with Order of the Phoenix, at the beginning of the film, her dresses were a light pink, and then as the film went on, they got darker and darker to sort of reflect her anger. And I wonder if they're going to do that here. Of course, you don't see Umbridge as much in this movie, but maybe you see the colors change a heck of a lot quicker.
I hope this movie's going to be so great we won't even notice what color her dress is.
The Nazi Germany red armband, that was another thing that definitely stuck out for me.
I honestly, I think the only thing I keep thinking about is Dobby. He's been absent this entire series since movie 2. Now that his triumphant return, that's all I can think about right now.
Mike, any standout scenes for you?
Yeah, I mean, I said definitely the wedding scene in Kingsley's Patronus. I liked seeing the chase scene. I'm interested to see that. We talked about it a lot, like how they do that with going through the traffic and then having to go back to the air and how they work all that out. But
the Seven Potters looks really great too. Just the opening scene with all of them together.
Yeah,
because we've been waiting to see anything from that scene.
Yep. A lot of the Voldemort's interaction with the Death Eaters also, with Snape in that opening scene, and also with Lucius, to see how he treats him. I know, Matt, you said that looked like a Dobby spell that knocked him backwards, but I almost wonder if Voldemort kind of picks on him a bit like he does in the book, because doesn't he take Lucius's wand from him at one point because he can't use his own against Harry?
Like a little slap in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can
maybe
see
that's
that.
What's going on. Let's see. What else? What else?
Well, we're just talking about stuff that comes from our mind, right? Like things that stood out. I'm really happy that Fleur's back. I mean, just the fact that she's in this film just makes it all the more, legit. Because, I mean, she's not that big of a character, except for in Deathly Hallows because she gets, married. But just the fact that they got, the same actress to come back and everything, I think it's really nice.
Well, now we want to hear your thoughts about the film for a few minutes before we wrap up the show. You can call in 1-218-206-2442. That's 1-218-206-2442. When you call, please mute your stream and please have something to talk about. Because if we answer and you got nothing to talk about, then it's kind of, a little strange. Hello, Roxanne. Hello, Roxanne.
So it's all good.
Roxanne?
Yes.
Hi, welcome to MuggleCast Live.
Hi.
What are your thoughts about the trailer?
I think it's very nice. I liked it. All my friends are like on Facebook and they're like, oh, it's so amazing.
Were there any standout scenes for you?
You know what I thought standed out particularly is when they go to the ministry and you see Umbridge there and then you see like a guy, he looks like a soldier checking the people.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, yeah. We were talking about that earlier. It has that the Nazi Germany feel. And I think it'll be interesting to hear what David Yates and everyone else has to say about that in upcoming interviews, because I think they're going to have a lot to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Any other standout scenes for you? Any complaints?
I don't like how they reused like the Voldemort scene. I thought that was a little...
I agree.
Tacky.
I agree.
Yeah, it would have worked without it. I mean, they didn't need to have that scene in the trailer. It just didn't do
anything. Yeah. And then the wedding scene, it wasn't exactly how I pictured it, but it was still, like, I liked the whole tent thing.
Yeah.
It looked really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, where were they exactly? It looked like they were on some dried out volcano. Because it looks like they were in Hawaii where the tent was. At least
I know.
You know what I'm
talking
about?
And the burrow is usually all like weeds and stuff, and then it was like grass.
Well, yeah.
Well, I think that was the way it was in Half-Blood Prince too.
Yeah. I'm talking about that scene where it's obviously like the trio's hiding place, because it kind of zooms in. It's early on in the trailer, and then you see all these like these black tarish kind of flooring. It must be like near a cliff or something, but it looks like they're right near like a dried out volcano that was extinct or something. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it just looks kind of weird.
All right, well, thank you for calling in, Roxanne.
You're welcome.
All right, bye.
Bye.
You have to hang up. For some reason, I can't. Oh, thank you. Don't forget the number 1-218-206-2442. You can also Skype the username MuggleCast if you'd like to do that as well. Hello, Courtney. You're on MuggleCast Live.
Hello?
Oh, no. Hold on. Hold on a second. Oh, sorry. I lost her. Skype can be so weird sometimes.
Yes.
I'm getting Micah back in here first.
You cut off Micah?
Yeah, I cut him off. Sorry, Micah.
That's all right.
Hello, caller. You're on MuggleCast Live. Peely, is
that
how you... Hi, Peely, is that how you pronounce your name?
I'm sorry?
Peely, is that how you pronounce your name?
Yeah, that's Peely.
Oh, Peely. Where are you calling from?
Yeah, Mexico.
Oh, well, thank you for calling in. What do you think about the trailer?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it.
What was your favorite part?
I love the Seven Potters.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I like that. I was able to tell apart everyone.
Really? Could you tell us the order? We will challenge you right now. Hold on. Let me bring it up on the... Well, I don't know if you can see the live stream right now.
Oh, yeah.
But, okay. Here, I'm going to put it on the live stream. Left to right. Let's hear them. Come on.
Fred, George, or I don't know, George, Fred.
Right.
Mundungus.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Fleur. Yeah. Ron and Hermione.
Very good. Oh, yeah. I guess Fred and George were the giveaways on the left because they're wearing the same thing.
Yeah.
Just a slightly different
color. Well, yeah. Well, they also look at each other in that kind of mischievous smile.
Oh, yeah. And Hermione's looking very worried on the right. I didn't notice this the first time, but if you look at the Ron Harry, so to speak, his mouth is open a little bit, like, duh.
And his shoulders are pushed back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dan did a really good job with that, getting those down. And actually, in an interview with him that I did with a couple other fan sites a few weeks ago, he talks about that kind of thing. And hopefully the transcript from that will be up soon as WB lets us release it. But yeah, so Dan Radcliffe did a really good job of getting everyone down.
Yeah.
You can see the look of disgust on Mundungus' face.
No, he looks just so uptight and worried. You couldn't pull a needle out of his butt with a tractor.
Yeah.
His face was kind of a giveaway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're right.
Ron. Oh, and also I was going to say that you were talking about the scene where Lupin was, like, attacking Harry.
Yeah.
I think it was when Harry gets to the burrow and Lupin is, like, trying to see if he's a real Harry.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right.
It might be that.
Yeah. And we have it up on the stream now. But yeah. Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think you're right. Well, listen, thank you for calling in.
Oh, thank you for answering my call.
No problem. And have a nice night there in Mexico.
Thank you. All right, too.
Bye.
Bye.
How many more callers should we...
I don't know. What time? Like 30?
30? I'm afraid we don't have time for 30.
Oh.
But here's another one. Hello, Vicky.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi, good. How are you?
Sorry, I'm just going to mute my stream for a sec.
Okay. I called Peely back accidentally.
There we go.
So what did you like for the trailer? Hi, Peely, you're back. Peely.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, sorry, I accidentally called you. You can hang on the call if you want. All right. Or you can go. It's up to you.
Who are you talking?
I'm gonna go.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Bye.
Bye. I don't get it. Skype is so buggy. Anyway, Vicky, what did you think of the trailer?
I thought it was good. I actually liked the tomb.
Like the two what?
The tombstone.
Oh, the tomb. Now,
yeah.
Why do you like it? That's not how it's described in the book, is it?
Well, it's described as a very simple marble. White,
rectangular.
Yeah, it was just really described as something very simple and just white marble. So I don't know. I don't think Dumbledore would want something very complicated and elaborate.
I guess. I just think he deserves it, but.
Yeah. But I know in the book it was described as very simple and just a marble white kind of tomb.
Okay.
Area.
I still think it's out of the. Game Jenga. Have you ever played
Jenga? It does look like a Jenga block. I agree with that.
Maybe this is new marketing for a new Harry Potter Jenga or Dumbledore Tomb Jenga.
I can see that happening. But, and also, I was just going to comment on the fact that Harry wasn't disguised at the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
He's supposed to be Bernie.
Oh, right.
But yeah, he's supposed to be a cousin.
I almost think it better that he's not Barney at the wedding. I just think in a cinematic, like, Just it looks better on film.
It would have taken too much time, though, to explain why he has to change and everything, too.
I also didn't like how he was disguised in the book, either. I don't know.
I think it's, and it's also just easier to understand.
So yeah.
You don't get confused.
Yeah.
I think they'll have a lot more, like, I mean, they can do more between Harry and Ginny during that as well, if he's actually Harry.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be the first time they do that in this film, especially since we see the scene with Harry and Hermione who aren't changed at Godric's Hollow, and they are supposed to be transformed into different people, and they aren't in this film. So this, I guess just for the sake of explaining it and getting any confusion made, they're just going to have the actual actors.
Yeah. I think it'll just look a lot better on film as well, just to have them.
It'll just keep the pace going, too.
Yeah. Also, although it would be funny to see him as a fat ginger, but...
All right, well, thank you for calling in, Vicky.
Thanks a lot for taking the call.
No problem. Where are you calling from, by the way?
I'm actually from Canada, in Orillia.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Small town in Ontario.
Oh, Canada. All right, well, have a good evening there in Canada.
All right, you too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
There's Vicky.
Where's Micah? Is he back?
Yeah, Micah's back.
I'm here. Oh,
okay, sorry.
He just left me on hold last time.
Yeah, Skype is acting very strange, so I may have to deal with more strangeness from that, Micah. So please bear with me.
It's all right.
Let's take another caller now. Hello, Angeline.
It's Angie.
Angie.
Wow.
Ow. You're on MuggleCast Live. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
What do you think of the trailer?
I liked it, but I can't remember if the part with the Lovegood's house is in the second part or the first part. So I'm kind of upset that if that's part of from the second movie or from the second part of the book that they included it when it's supposed to be about the first part.
I think it is in the first part.
Okay, then I think I like the trailer a lot. Either way, I like it. It's just that one part I couldn't remember, so I was like,
yeah.
No, that isn't the first part because they discuss the Deathly Hallows, the story of the brothers.
But he goes there, I thought, after they leave Shell Cottage, and then I don't know. But I think
they go to the Gringotts after the cottage because Hermione transforms into Bellatrix at Shell Cottage.
Right, okay, that makes sense. And then the scene where Bellatrix, it looks like she has a whip. I think that's her wand, and she's trying to do that spell that's the binding spell, like where in Order of the Phoenix, you see Umbridge binding the Scimitar. I think it's that same spell.
So who would she be doing it on, Hermione?
Probably. Or... to anyone, if it's after Ron and Harry break out of the cellar with Dobby's help, she could be just trying to get a hold of anyone since she's already summoned Voldemort.
Hmm.
Well, good theory. Good theory. And hopefully we'll find out. But, well, thank you for calling in, Angie.
No problem.
Where are you calling from?
Chicago, Illinois.
Ah, represent. Okay. Have a good night there.
Thanks.
Bye. I disabled Skype sounds. And we're going to give...
Please enjoy the music while your
party is reached.
We're going to...
Oh, wait, we don't even know what song they were going to play.
Wait, here, we'll hear it again.
Please enjoy the music while your party is reached.
Oh...
Hello?
Hello?
Eric, why do you of all people should know to mute your stream before you pick up the call? So, Eric, welcome to the show here.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What are you doing?
What am I doing? I'm sitting in my car at the parking garage at school, and I've seen the trailer, and now I'm watching just you guys chilling at your dual desks there.
Okay, well, so what did you think of the trailer? You, of course, for anyone who doesn't know, you have seen the film. You got into a screening in Chicago, and so what do you think that the trailer does a good job of, representing the film?
I think so. I think this trailer feels different to me than the other trailers for other films. It's not just a simple like montage. There's a lot to it. I have two complaints that I jotted down while watching it, which was, I don't know if you guys have talked about this yet on the show. I've only been listening for like 5 minutes, but my first observation, rather, was Dumbledore's tomb looks, to me, it looks low-tech. Did you guys, and sure, it's only supposed to be stone, but it looks like...
It came from Ikea.
Unfinished. Yeah, it looks like an Ikea. Exactly. So have you guys been all through this already?
We've been talking about this, actually, quite a lot. I'm very disappointed with this tombstone. Now, didn't you see it in the movie?
Yeah, well, but remember, in the movie, some of the effects were unfinished, so I figured, hey... obviously, that's going to be more detail in the film when it comes out.
Oh, it's right.
Now, so in the trailer, I see, no, it really is just a rectangular stone, and it's like, it's unmarked, it's on an island somewhere. Now it just feels like they moved Dumbledore's body off to an island somewhere to be away from the grounds of Hogwarts. I don't know, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't want everyone to see what kind of a tomb they gave Dumbledore.
Yeah, I said it looked almost like a Da Vinci Code or Indiana Jones type of tomb. Like you press something in. Yeah, you press something in the wall and like it slides open. I don't even know how to describe it. It's weird.
I just think for someone who's such an epic character in the series, he deserves at least a regular looking tomb. One that's shaped properly.
Oh, disrespect for Dumbledore, geez.
But we won't dwell on it too much. Any other things, Eric?
The other observation was just the sequence of events in the trailer, okay? They're running all around long before they show the wedding scene where Kingsley's voice is heard, you know, they're coming, and the tent at the Burrow is set ablaze. You know, that happens long after they've been running and running and running, and I feel like it would have been a lot better if they positioned the scene, you know, all the running should not have happened until the scene at the wedding, because that kind of sets it afoot, and honestly, they're showing them running through London and all that long before they have a reason to run, so it mm-hmm. feels kind of disjointed. I don't know, it feels like the order of the trailer is just wrong.
Right. Okay, well, yeah. I got a question for Eric since he's seen it. Since we're talking about Kingsley, what is with his Patronus?
What do you mean?
Like, we don't see it. Like, what is that? Like, we don't really see anything.
Right. I guess it would have looked weird if it were like a talking penguin and not just an orb. What is Kingsley's Patronus? Do you guys remember?
A lynx, yes.
Yeah, a lynx, not a penguin. My bad.
Can you see Kingsley Shacklebolt having a penguin as a Patronus?
It's just waddling around. The Ministry has fallen. The Ministry has fallen.
They're the ones that take care of kids, just like he takes care of the Order by warning them. No, look, he honestly, that's I think what it is, you know, we haven't seen a Patronus being used as a communication tool in the film, so I feel like they kept it as an orb so that it could convey its point and leave. That, you know, if a lynx came into the room,
it caused a scene.
And not to mention a white billowing object. I think it would look too much like the silver doe that they have to show later in the film.
Right.
Well, what exactly happens there? Because you can see somebody. We're not exactly sure who that is, though.
Who's what?
In the orb, the Patronus orb, we see a picture of someone. We see somebody's head. And we were all trying to figure out who it was. My best guess is Jim Dale, but that just doesn't make sense.
Okay. Oh, weird. Can you bring that up on the screen so I can see it?
Yeah, I'm trying to. Right
I just
now.
Had an idea. Do you think that maybe it's almost like a video recording of what's going on where he's at the moment? And maybe it'll just, like the orb will clear out a little bit and then we'll show Kingsley talking to his wand or something and it'll show like people running in the back?
Maybe.
Like we saw it just starting to dissolve into whatever's happening. I mean, that's just.
Here's what I'm talking about, Eric. There's this little face right here. Oh. Hold on. Oh. Right there.
And
it's hard to tell who it is. It doesn't look like Kingsley.
That does look like Jim Dale.
Yeah, it looks like Jim Dale.
That's so weird. Is it? And it's coming out of the orb, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the head's in pain.
It's not like... Yeah. I feel
it's not Scrimgeour either.
Yeah, maybe it's just extras. Maybe it's extras, anybody. And it's like it's from the set of the Ministry, like where his Patronus. That's odd. Very, very odd.
It's the great trailer mystery. There's always at least one of them. Some people are saying it's Nicolas Cage. I think that's a reasonable.
That makes
no, there's too much hair.
Barty Crouch Jr. I don't know. None of these are standing out at me.
Well, what about those other characters we were kind of up in the air about? I mean, we figured some of them out, but I don't know if Eric can kind of confirm them.
Eric, the characters at the Ministry, I'll put them up on the screen here. You see Umbridge, you see Yaxley, you see Thickenies, but can you correctly identify those?
What, who's who or what?
Yeah, who's who.
Oh, yeah, okay, the guy on the far left right behind Umbridge is the character that Harry turns into.
Oh, right.
So that would be...
I just forget.
It's not Runcorn, is it?
Yeah, Runcorn. Yeah, Albert Runcorn. Although I see... Wait, isn't... I feel like Ron is... Runcorn. Yeah, anyway... okay, so then in the center is the man at the Ministry, and then Thickness or his assistant is the man to his left, and of course Umbridge, you know. And actually, why I like this shot is because you can see the statue behind them,
right?
Of the Muggles being oppressed.
Right, right. It's a very striking statue. I hope the what's that company called that sells all the Harry Potter products?
Noble Collection.
NECA?
Noble Collection. Yeah, I hope they make a life size version of the statue because I would absolutely love to.
Or a paperweight.
Yeah.
Or a paperweight. Yeah. I'd love to.
Now,
have
what
that.
What about that cellar shot? Can we bring that up?
Yeah, Eric. We were talking about the cellar shot. We see Pettigrew and Voldemort coming after somebody with longish hair.
Yeah. Well, yeah, bring it up for sure.
It
reminded me.
Right there.
It reminded me of that I'm still not seeing it just yet. I feel like there might be a lag.
There it is.
But I do want to say before we go, it's
Is that
it's
the vision? Solomon. It is Ollivander.
And it looks like it's in a vision, I think, that Harry has. Speaking of Ollivander, I feel like they're really getting a lot of use, or maybe overuse, of that shot where Ollivander looks up, like, towards the camera, and he's terrified.
Yeah.
I feel like that's in all of the trailers thus far. I'm really tired of seeing that, because Ollivander has, like, almost zero screen time in this film. And they're really getting, you know, it's like, you see that, and it's like, oh, I'm anxious, Ollivander's getting hurt, you know. It's great to see him back. But they're really, like that terrified
enough's
look.
Enough.
Yeah, enough
show
is enough.
Show more Dobby. Like,
we get it. Yeah, show more Dobby. Dobby's appearance in this trailer is my favorite part of it, because everything about Dobby is just so matter of fact. Like, humph, you know, like, you shall not harm Harry Potter. It's awesome.
Well, we wanted to ask you about that scene. Where does that shot take place?
I don't know. It's hard to tell because it's just Dobby in front of a black background. What am I going to do, you know?
Well, did you see it in the movie? Do you remember that at all?
I would say it happens at Malfoy Manor, which, like, the whole place is dark.
There's only so many scenes Dobby's in this film.
Yeah.
Remember, they did add scenes that weren't in the book, I don't think. Or at least Dobby shows up a little earlier in the film. Not just at Malfoy Manor before he dies, and it leads up to his death. Yeah, he is at Malfoy Manor. You can see that there's like a balcony and a,
right.
I don't, not tapestries, but yeah, columns and pillars. Yeah, he is. I believe he's actually rescuing Hermione or leading an advance on the offenders, either prior to or right after Hermione is tortured by Bellatrix.
you know, we thought it was in Malfoy Manor. It's just hard to tell. We thought it reminded us of the Defense Against the Dark Arts room with the sort of with the balcony. And then I was thinking, well, maybe this scene just isn't finished. They threw in that background shot just because they don't have the actual camera shot finished.
I know what you mean. Oh, we've got two. I know what you mean because it reminds me of that one. I guess it's called the Astronomy Tower, but it's not the Astronomy Tower. It's where Lupin and Harry have his first Boggart lesson in Prisoner of Azkaban, the movie. You know where it's like that balcony and the steps leading up to it, but it's, you know, they redid it for movie 6. We have two questions in the comments. One of them says, "Does Dobby look weird?" Did you guys talk about this at all? Does Dobby look a little weird?
Matt and Micah actually don't like how he looks, but I disagree.
Well, No. I love the way that he's designed.
Designed?
Yeah, well,
is he a robot?
No, because he's obviously does not look the same as he did in Chamber of Secrets. That they added more features, more detailed features on his face. I'm saying that the CGI does not look like it's finished yet. Like it looks obviously like it's. He is a CGI character in that scene.
Yeah. Is he too pale for you?
No, he just doesn't look finished. Like they did in Chamber of Secrets, like the finishing product. Like he looked like he was in that scene with Harry hitting himself with everything. He just does not look... It just doesn't look as clean.
Is he supposed to look like better because he's not chained up anymore? He's not a slave anymore? He's kind of... been free for the last couple of years. Yeah, so he's a little bit got a little bit of weight put on.
I guess my issue is that he doesn't have enough wrinkles.
He's not as stressed
aged.
Out.
He's not, yeah. Yeah, he's not stressed. He's not getting the crap kicked out of him.
Yeah, well, I guess that's it then. But there's still a question about why he's wearing the pillowcase. Why isn't he wearing actual clothes? Yeah, I think the issue is they just can't make him look too adorable. Because then people will love him too much. Mm-hmm. Like, if he was wearing real clothes, like, say there's a line of, like, house elf clothes right. that, like, you go to Oshkosh, but house elf, gosh. Mm-hmm. And there's this whole line of house elf clothing.
Go to the Gap.
He would just look too adorable. You got to make him look kind of right. crappy.
Well, isn't the whole point of him wearing clothes, it kind of correlates to the whole spew thing? So, I mean, there really is no point for him to wear clothes since they didn't add the whole spew.
Yeah, I mean,
plot.
this is how audiences will recognize him. This is how he looked in Chamber of Secrets, right. So.
Except I wonder if people will make the connection that Dobby was actually the Malfoy's elf, so he knows the Malfoy Manor far better than anybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, I was waiting for that connection to be made in a film, you know, say like Lucius or Narcissa or Draco or Bellatrix, maybe even like give him a look like, hey, I recognize you, elf. But I'm not going to say it didn't happen. I'm really excited seeing this. I want that confrontation.
All right.
Now, can you confirm Grindelwald? I know we pretty much did that, but we wanted to make sure.
Yeah, he shows up in, I believe.
Well, we had a picture of him somewhere.
I saw those photos earlier.
Yeah. So, anything else to say about the trailer, Eric?
Oh, just those things. I feel like the order of events is a little messed up, but what are you going to do? It's kind of really late in the game to get a trailer, so...
Right.
I'm happy that 1-8 has existed. Let me just say that. Cause
yeah,
you're welcome.
I was worried that there... Yeah, I was worried that there wouldn't be one for just part
one.
Well,
of course one existed. Come on.
Take it off the list. It's really late, and... You know, they're running before something blows up, but whatever.
Well,
what
it's the one and only trailer for part one. I mean, at least we're not going to get that spoiled.
What I loved about, actually, remember the title cards that said, what, only one can survive? Or only one can live?
Yeah.
The prophecy? I love that.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing I was going to ask you, though, is that it didn't seem like this trailer really touched on... the Deathly Hallows at all, or the Horcruxes. I know this movie really only one Horcrux gets destroyed, but there's really none of that in the trailer at all.
Right.
Yeah, which is, I kind of like that because I don't want the whole movie ruined before I see it, but, you know, like, by a trailer. And also, those scenes in which, that you know, they're searching for Horcruxes and learning about the Hallows are very... the way that they're shot is that, you know, if you were to show any of that scene, you would have shown it all. It would have ruined it because, like, when, for instance, when we see the shots that they've been showing in the trailer, like running around London, you know, when we see that, when you guys see that in the movie, you're going to recognize that, oh, yeah, I saw that in the trailer, but it's a fast-paced scene, and there's a lot going on, and so it'll be cool to see it in the context of the film. However, if they were to show, you know, Mr. Lovegood explaining the Hallows or Harry talking about Horcruxes with Ron and Hermione, that would be the whole scene would be ruined because they dwell on it quite a bit in the film, and mm-hmm. the scenes are heavy and weighted with anxiety and emotion, and to show that in the trailer would really kind of ruin it in the film, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you do get the scene of Ron destroying the Horcrux and the brief underwater scene, and then Voldemort at the end of the trailer talking about seeing Ron's heart and being able to eat it, or I don't remember exactly what he said, but that's a line from the book, you know. It's not, it seems like it's directed at Harry, but it's actually directed at Ron. It's the Locket speaking. That line, you know what I'm talking about, that line at the end of the trailer?
Which line?
It sounds like this.
I have seen your heart, and it is mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the Locket, that's right?
Yeah, that's the second time they're doing that, where it sounds like he's talking to Harry, but he's not.
Oh, that makes sense.
Very
yeah,
deceiving,
thinking,
as usual.
Where is that going to be in the movie?
Yeah, I thought he said eat his heart, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, jeez.
It actually sounds eerier than it did in the TV spot. The TV spot version sounded less ghostly, I guess you would say.
Yeah. I feel like they're either still playing with that or they're playing with it to screw us up. Because it sounds like, or it's, I think it's made to sound like he's talking to Harry, but he's not.
Yeah,
it should sound ghostly though, because it's not right. Like Voldemort is present.
No, I agree.
Well, they've elongated the face crawling across the screen. I know, Andrew, you were saying that was the scene from Order of the Phoenix, but I guess it's not anymore. Did you talk about that at all?
No, it still is. That's still there, and it still is. I hope they just put that in the trailer, just because the effects aren't finished yet, or for some reason they felt the need that kind of shot had to be in there. But that was still from Order of the Phoenix. They had a few of those where it was really stretched out. Yeah.
Well, I know Snape sitting with the Death Eaters and saying, "We have infiltrated the Ministry." That was kind of cool.
It was. We were talking about that earlier as well.
And what about, what spell is he casting there in the trailer, Eric?
Who?
When?
Snape.
When what?
There's a quick shot of him, what looks like he's walking up towards Malfoy Manor. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I think it is, surprises him, like, apparates right next to him, or, like, comes down from the sky, and Snape is, I guess, just raising his wand in defense.
He's sort of like, shoo, 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 get out of here.
Oh, there? He's probably just opening the gates, or... it's in the Malfoy. Those darn peacocks. They can't get enough of their Snape. He needs to AK them to get them to leave him alone.
What?
Very good. Well, we've been at this for close to 2 hours now, so we're going to start to wrap it up. Thanks everyone for dealing with the technical difficulties towards the beginning. It's been a lot of fun. Of course, we're going to have a lot more to come on upcoming episodes of MuggleCast. What episode is this technically? 210?
209.
209. So 210 and beyond will be filled with much more discussion about this trailer. And hopefully we'll get some other great Deathly Hallows video content to talk about as well, whether it's clips or TV spots.
The entire movie.
Or the entire movie leaks online. That'd be fun. All that. All that to look forward to. People in the chat are requesting that they get the easy button. So here you go.
That was easy.
And
do you still have the Trump bobblehead?
No, he broke. All of my fun toys have gone away.
He's been fired.
He doesn't bobble anymore, so he just hangs his head?
No.
He doesn't have a head.
Well, Enrique, to wrap up the show today, my friend Enrique Iglesias, he wrote a song just for the trailer tonight because he was so happy with it. So I will play that now to send us all off. What's so funny? We're friends, okay? Leave me alone.
He just doesn't know it yet.
Thanks everyone for listening. Eric, thanks for calling in at the last minute there.
Thanks to the 2,000 people who listened to us.
Yeah, we had a pretty good turnout today.
Yay. Well, it's a pretty big day.
Yeah. All right. Enrique.
Enrique.
Play us out.
Your amigo. Mi amigo.
Ah, yes. This is for Laura, too.
Good to talk to you guys.
Oh, I thought you were going to play Paramos.
Goodbye, everyone.
That's a fancy. Y'all know what's happening. We gon' set it off tonight. Just so. Set the club on fire. Just so. Enrique. Holla at him like. I like the Deathly Hollows trailer. It's really good. But tonight is the night. What's going on?